this is a very hard one. And I think about this. I was mentioning earlier in the show how we go to the cottage off of Grand Bend Ipperwash once a year and for a week. And this is probably our 12th, 13th year of doing it. And my kids are now 18 and turning 16. So we would go when they were 5 and 3 and 6 and 4 and beyond. And now and then you just want them to experience the waves and not stress out. And the next thing you know, there's friends in there. And there's been some, you know, kind of sunsets, late afternoons where we would never swim in the dark, but you stress a little bit because you don't see a kid for even one of your kids, or heaven forbid, one of not your kids. And you don't see them go on, they go under the wave. And for just that half second, you're like, am I imagining this? And then you see them and you start breathing easier again. And I'll call myself out. I took CPR way, way, way back when. It's a little like French. I've totally forgotten it. I don't think I could properly resuscitate somebody, and I need to redo those courses. And it made me, both those things made me think about that yesterday when the body of a 14-year-old boy was found after he went swimming at Ashbridges Bay Sunday late afternoon going into the evening. We don't know if darkness was an issue. We don't know if waves were an issue, an undertow. We don't know. We just know there's parents without a 14-year-old, and it's just so avoidable is the best way I can put it. And that's not to call out the kid, the parents, or anything else. It's just, it just rips your heart and soul out. Eric Schendelman's the owner of Schendy's Swim and Training Center, and I don't doubt it does exactly the same to him because he's able to get people into his swim and training center and teach them the what for. Eric, thanks very much for giving us the time today.
Thanks for having me on today, Greg.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Cases like this rip us all up, but you've been doing this quite a while, and I'm sure you see maybe even people who come to you and said, we had a close call, and I want to make sure that either A, I can save somebody, or B, I can handle myself in rough and choppy waters, Eric.
I get that all the time, and I'm fortunate to be able to help children, youth, and adults learn to swim, but not everyone has access to those programs. Even community programs, there are lineups, and so we're not getting kids, youth, and adults into the programs. But my work with the Drowning Prevention Coalition is even greater. Listening to stories and hearing from families, it's devastating, and this is just another devastating story where it could have been prevented. And so I sit on a committee called Drownings in Supervised Settings, but more importantly, you know, our group has helped draft Canada's Drowning Prevention Plan. And we go back to 2014 on this, Greg. World Health Organization report says, barrier off water that should not have access. And I'm wondering, because I don't know the full story on this one, but I got some basics, if that area should have been cordoned off and if other things could have been done to avoid this horrible tragedy.
I'll just push on that. Do you think taping off parts of beaches or signs, they might prevent adults from saying, when you're there with your young sons or daughters, well, that's taped off for a reason. That sign's there for a reason. Does it stop teenagers? Does it stop young adults? I'm not sure. Right? Like I there's a point to it, but is it going to stop everybody from doing what they're about to do? I don't know.
No, it's a good point, and probably not. I'm looking at the sign that's along Toronto's beaches, and it's Municipal Code 608. No youth is going to look at this sign. It says there may be rip currents. They couldn't have known. And, you know, the questions around this are huge. Like, why did they go in? Was it to cool off on an April day? This is very early in the season.
It's really cold water, right? 8-9 degrees Celsius. Like, we're talking 50 degree Fahrenheit water. You're not going to last very long in there or feel it anyway, right?
No, it's totally hypothermic. There's only a few minutes that you can go in and then get out. This is a polar bear swim in April.
Yeah. I also think parents probably listening might think to themselves, and even maybe a college student listening might think, I'm too old for swimming lessons. You never really are. You must get people that have either sort of, you know, lost their way and forgotten how to do it, or were never that good to begin with. And they want to be better because maybe now they have grandchildren, or now, you know, they're dating somebody who's got little kids. Like, there's a million reasons to come see somebody like you.
It's totally never too late. And for those that don't want to put their face in the water, that's fine. Let them learn how to properly support themselves on the surface of the water. There is something through the Life Saving Society that I always recommend, and that's called Swim to Survive. You got to be able to swim 50 meters. You got to be able to tread water for 1 minute. And frankly, if you can do the third skill, which is to do a disorienting sort of somersault roll into water, it helps you simulate what it feels like to fall out of a boat. So you feel that disorientation and you can surface. That's Swim to Survive. And I think that everyone needs to learn that. There are grants out there for schools, grade 3 students. It's similar to like a Hep B shot that you get in grade 7. Teach these kids to swim and give them opportunities and access.
We're talking about, by the way, you can go to shendys.com and find out more about exactly what can be done. And I'm sure, again, this is the time of year, regardless of the news cycle, where you're going to end up being busier, no question about it, in circumstances like this. Eric Schendelman's joining us. You note crash courses as well for people that think, big time commitment, a lot of weeks in a row. Not necessarily for either CPR or just the swimming basics. Right, Eric?
Well, yeah, and Greg, I heard that you need to recertify or redo your certification. So I'd like to throw it out there right now that I'm happy to do that for you. In fact, I'm heading off to a group today to teach them in cases of a heart stopping or some sort of emergency that people can get into. However, it doesn't really matter what you've been trained to do. The question is, can you handle the unexpected? So you might have been trained on land. But in reality, are you going to be a frontliner, or are you going to be a better bystander where you can call 911 and help the patrons that are standing around? Or three, are you going to be running for the hills? In this particular case with a drowning, it was very nice that a local resident saw what was happening and entered the water. But in those cases, I worry that there's going to be more victims if they get into that type of scenario. But yes, crash courses, highly recommended. It's a wonderful part-time job at the end of it if you become a lifeguard or a swimming instructor. But most importantly, these folks need to learn to swim.
Yeah, it's just the basics. And again, we can let it fall by the wayside. I'm worried a lot of COVID-19. Again, what didn't that screw up? But I'm sure a lot of people fell behind on swimming lessons or whatnot. It's pretty easy to call you and get back into it. Eric, I got a blast. Thanks for the time today. And thanks for doing what you do. We'll stay in touch throughout the summer.
You bet. Take care of yourself.
There's Eric Schendelman. You can go to shendys.com. Find out more about those particular crash courses. I'll make another point. Cell phones. You might think they're bad, terrible, end of society. They've saved a ton of lives by people having access to be able to call either a friend, a co-parent, and say, I need help with this. I've got kids in the water right now, and it's just me. Prior to that, how on earth were you going to call 911 from the cottage? Run into your cottage and find a landline? It's too late in those circumstances.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.